So I'm giving kind of a part two, a follow-up of Julie's talk, and it's specifically looking at the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So I don't know if you can read them in the back, the fruits of the Spirit, but just to refresh our memory, if we can all read them aloud as we see them in here. We have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these fruits are taken from Galatians 5. And just to give you a little bit of a context, in Galatians 5, Paul was speaking specifically to the Galatians, who were kind of struggling with the understanding of true freedom. And so they were, confusing true freedom with an anything goes philosophy. And what he really challenged them was to live a life that was reflective of the person of Jesus, and we would know that life through these fruits and seeing them in our lives. So I want to speak specifically about the metaphor or the analogy that Paul uses of these things as fruits, because I think it's very important that we understand that, and I think there's a lot of to unpack in that idea of fruit. And so just to begin, I want to contrast that with the idea of gifts. And we know that Paul did mention the gifts of the Holy Spirit in Corinthians. And the gifts are something that can come at a moment. It's an anointing of the Holy Spirit for a particular moment on you. Fruit's different. You know, you can have a gift underneath a tree, a Christmas tree, and you couldn't know what the tree was from opening up the gifts, right? There's not a relationship. But there is a relationship when it comes to fruit. Fruit trees do reveal the nature of what something is. The fruit of itself reveals the nature of the fruit tree. In the spring, for example, you could walk around Arizona and you see all these citrus trees, and you can recognize a citrus tree because it's got those pretty green, shiny leaves. But you probably couldn't tell, or I couldn't tell, what that particular fruit tree was. But this time of the year, when you start seeing the fruit grow, and it doesn't have its color yet, but you can tell the shape of a fruit, you know, oh, that's an orange tree, that's a lemon tree. And you can judge by the fruit. So, in keeping with this metaphor, we can judge the fruit of the Holy. We can judge the Holy Spirit tree, I guess, by the fruit. And as Debbie said, Jesus is patience. Jesus is love. Jesus is kindness. And you can go through the whole list. So, why do we want to bear fruit? Well, in Matthew 7, Jesus says, you will know them by their fruit. And we want to bear this fruit because by doing so, we reflect Jesus and who he is as the tree. Okay, another important thing of the fruit metaphor is that fruit provides an ongoing blessing for others. So, I mean, we're blessed by the fruit we eat. It nourishes our body. I'm blessed by seeing the fruit trees in their beauty. Similarly, the fruit that we bear in our own lives obviously is a blessing to others. And you can just take a look at this list and realize that they're, you know, pretty much all intended for use in a social context. I mean, these are things that, of course, bless us by having these fruits, but also obviously bring blessing to other people in our lives. And fruit also produces seeds, right, which can generate even more fruit. So by seeing these fruits or experiencing these fruits in our own lives or others experiencing these, then that can generate even more fruit. You know, sometimes it takes fruit trees a little bit of time to mature. You know, I think they say 5 years before you bear fruit. But then fruit trees can bear fruit for hundreds of years. Pear trees actually for 100 years can bear fruit. So it certainly is that there's a multiplication element to fruit. But the final thing, and this is really what I want to dwell on, is a fruit tree's end goal is to produce fruit. So the fruit tree's telos, right, its very end goal in its nature is to bear fruit. It's a natural process. So you would never really look at an apple tree and think, oh, what an effort for that tree to have apples. I mean, it's just something that's just a part of its essence, it's part of its nature. And you can take a little seed, and Julie said this very well, it's a complete work. It, you know, in this little seed is everything that it needs to become a big tree and to bear more fruit if the conditions are right. So now we're taking that into our own lives. How do we bear fruit? Well, I think through hearing all the talks today, it's become pretty clear to me that we can't bear fruit through our own effort of bearing fruit. And I've tried many, many, many times. You know, you look at this list, you think, or I thought, man, okay, today I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to have a smile on my face. I'm going to be pleasant. I'm going to have joy. I'm going to be joyful, right? I can get through a day. I maybe get through a week with that mentality, but it's not lasting, and we all know. And same thing with peace. I've gone for many walks around the neighborhood at night thinking, okay, Lord, like, give me peace. I'm going to have peace. Tomorrow, I'm going to be peaceful. You know, and it's like this, like, force of will to bear these fruits in our life. Now, there is an element of virtue, right? You know, habituating yourself and living a particular life, you know, habit breeds virtue, certainly. But at least for myself, I haven't been able to make any of these last. You know, you reach a point where you can't do it anymore, you know? You can have lots of self-control, but, you know, a week of muffins in the faculty office, you're going to give in. I mean, day seven, you're going to give in to those muffins. Like, you know, we can't bear this fruit with our own effort. And as Julie said, we are not the seed, right? Jesus is the seed. The Holy Spirit's the seed. The Word of God is the seed. And we are just the soil. And we are good soil. We are. But what we can work on and the effort that we can do is in germinating that seed and kind of breaking it down. And I think Julie gave us a lot of really good ways to do that. I am going to give us another particular challenge that we're going to do, an exercise in kind of beginning that process of breaking down that seed and helping it to really take root in our soil of our hearts. And so in just a minute, I'm going to have some people pass out a handout. I believe Jeff Shaw actually made the handout, so give, you know, your thanks to him. But it's a handout that lists lots of scripture verses that particularly address each fruit. And what I'm going to challenge us to do in these next 20 minutes or so is to meditate on these, to really, really let the Word of God sink into our own hearts through these verses. But I want to take it a step more because at least for me, I have oftentimes, you know, had really encouraging scripture verses I've taped to my mirror or I've put on the refrigerator. And, you know, you notice it the first day or two, but then, you know, your senses fail. I stop noticing it. You know, same thing. I could hear the scriptures read at Mass, and there are days I don't hear it. I mean, I wouldn't remember what they said. You know, this is just kind of a part of our human nature, right? Our senses sometimes are not enough for us. There are days I know I probably should open up my scriptures, but I don't feel like it, so I don't. What I want us to do with these particular verses is to memorize them. Because when it's in your heart, you can't ignore it. And actually, as I was preparing for this, I was thinking kind of through my own, you know, stories. And I remembered very vividly a time in college where I would just be walking at night and scripture verse would just pop into my head. And it was exactly what the Lord wanted to tell me at that exact moment. I mean, it happened all the time, actually. And I think it was because as a child, I was forced through like sticker charts and candy to memorize scripture verses. I did it in Sing and Splash with Mrs. Brown. I did it in Christian Karate, which I took. I did it for as extra credit assignments in college with my Latin teacher. I mean, I memorized a lot of scripture, and the Lord really used that all the time. I mean, at any given moment, or I'd be talking to a friend, and scripture verse would come into my head because I had this treasury in my heart of all these verses. And I wish I could say that was still true now, but it's not because I don't make it a habit. I don't take the time, but I want to. And I think that if we can all encourage one another to do this, I think it would be I think it'd be really life-changing in some ways. So in the next 20 minutes or however long we have, we're going to pass out these handouts, if you want to do that, ladies. Pray through them to begin. Lord, which fruit would you like me to grow in my own life? So ask that question first. And then start there. You may, I think we're going to have adoration, stay here and meditate on them here. I memorize things by writing it and by speaking it out loud. So if you want to go outside so you can speak it out loud, you know, I would encourage you to do that if that's what you need to do as well. But whatever way that you found in your life to help memorize, I'd like to challenge you to take this time to begin that. I think every individual can decide for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know what, Jeannie, one more slide. Forgot about this one. We can all read this together. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You will bear much fruit. It's a promise. It's not through our effort. It's a promise that the Lord makes to us. So thank you for that. And hold me accountable to memorizing verses too.